RCC. If you're ready to rock the house, let me hear you make some noise. Hey! Come on, tell the person that God is up to something. Come on, tell them.
Welcome this morning. Welcome, welcome, all of you. This is On One Accord with Carmen M. Thomas. It's so wonderful to be here with you this morning. And this is a broadcast that we will uplift and give Jesus all the praise, for he is Lord. So we will celebrate him because he is all good. And God is always up to something good. In these trying times, in these last days, we see so much chaos in the world. And in these last days, we are told that it will be more and more wickedness upon the earth and evil upon the earth. But it is time for us to turn back to the teachings of Jesus, of loving God and putting ourselves out there to love each other as ourselves, as Jesus taught. And the time has come, in these trying times with so much chaos in the world, so much that we don't have any love for each other anymore. And this is the problem, sisters and brothers, is that we have turned so far away from the teachings that Jesus taught us of loving each other, being our brother's keeper as far as having that love in our heart for each other. So this morning, as always, I began with a prayer, and that prayer is always praising the goodness of God, that regardless of whatever we see that's going on in our lives and the lives of others, we know that he's alive and well, that we serve a living God. There's nothing dead about God. And so we have to take all of our burdens and put them at the cross. Put them at the cross of Jesus and know that our burdens will be light if we leave them there. So this morning, I ask you to join with me on one accord in prayer, if you will, for the believers out there that love God and know that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, that know that he's there, that he would never leave us nor forsake us. In times of trouble, he tells us, don't let your heart be troubled. But to bring all of those burdens and all of those weighed down burdens and yokes that we have, bring them to him, for Jesus came to free us. And who the Son free is free indeed. So will you join me right now in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you thanks this morning for your precious grace that's upon us, to keep us and our loved ones, those that's near and those that's afar, from the youngest to the oldest. We give you thanks for keeping us under the shadow of your almighty wings, protecting us from all harm and unforeseen danger. Oh God, we ask you to continually to keep a shield around us from the forces of evil. And we give you thanks this morning for providing for us. First, we give you thanks for a sound mind and with the use and activity of our limbs and faculties. We thank you, Father God, for your love upon us to provide for shelter, food, and clothing, and all the added amenities to make life more comfortable. And we send out a prayer, oh God, for those that's less fortunate than we are, to give us the mindset and the heart to reach out in our own capacity to do what we can. But just to lift them up in prayer and to know that you will keep us all, those that's walking in spiritual darkness, from our loved ones, families, and friends. We ask Holy Spirit to just touch them in a mighty way and draw them to you, oh God. You know what it takes. There are times that we have tried and talked to do things to help to open our loved ones and families and friends' eyes, but you can do far more than we ever could, and that's bringing them to your altar. That is our responsibility, is to bring them before your altar, oh God, and leave them there and ask that you touch them with your Holy Spirit and draw them to you. Oh, God, this morning we pray that every man, woman, and child be touched by your glory. And, oh, God, we pray for the peace of all nations, including Jerusalem and Israel. And let that peace, we humbly come before you and surrender ourselves and ask that that peace begin with us. We pray with a repentant heart that you forgive us of every word, thought, and deed that we have rendered towards you, ourselves, and each other. Anything within us that you find displeasing, oh God, we humbly surrender ourselves and submit ourselves to you and ask you to remove it. So all that we say and do will be for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray and give you thanks. Amen. Oh, this morning, dear hearts, I'm coming to you just giving you the word of knowing that God is there. Regardless of what we go through, what chaos may be happening in our lives. You know, when I counsel with people and talk to them, the first question I ask them is, what is your relationship with God? Because if they haven't taken Jesus as a personal Savior, that is the first step. Because a house built on sand will not stand the things of the world that come to you, the chaos in our life that may come up on us. If your house is built on sand, you will not be able to stand. You will crumble and let the cares of this life bring you into depression and despair. But when your house is built on that rock, and that's the word of God, knowing that he's there and that he will never leave you nor forsake you, then the storms of life will come. But you can have peace in the middle of a storm. Yes, you can. We all will have some type of storms in our lives. But trusting in God and putting him at the forefront, we will have peace. And this morning, I want to speak to you on first, the title of my book is As a Man Thinketh in His Heart, So Is He. And you can purchase that on Amazon or through the publisher, Infinity Publishing. But there are things that I speak on from the Bible that relates exactly to this passage taken from Proverbs, the 23rd chapter and the 7th verse, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And our thought pattern, and it's more than positive thinking, that's knowing that Jesus lived. And that he came and paid a price for us. We're not our own. We was bought with a price by his precious blood. And so when he went up on Calvary and paid for the sins of this world, we have a right to expect our prayers to be answered. We have a right as a child of God to expect deliverance. We have a right for things to turn around for our good in our life. So this morning, still going from as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I want to go into, it's actually, I was in 2 Kings last week, but I'm still there. But also this story here that I'm about to speak on is also found in Isaiah, the 38th chapter. The 2 Kings, actually, identical same writing is in the first two or three paragraphs of 2 Kings, talking about Hezekiah. It says in the 20th chapter in 2 Kings, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And then a prophet, which was Isaiah, came and told him, thus said the Lord, set your house in order. For you shall die and not live. But then Hezekiah said he prayed and he turned his face to the wall and prayed. And he said, Lord, He said, I have served you. I beseech you, remember me, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And the Bible said he wept sorely. And the Amplified Bible said he wept bitterly, but he turned his face to the wall. And it said that before Isaiah could get out in the middle of court, the word of God came to him to really go back and turn around and go back and tell Hezekiah that I have heard thy prayers and I have seen thy tears, and behold, I will heal thee on the third day. And so this is what I'm going to ask you today. Have you ever had a prophecy or a reading or somebody to tell you that you couldn't do anything, or you've had a bad report from the doctor, a negative report that you didn't want to hear, a reading from a psyche that you didn't want to hear, or you didn't accept, or did you accept it wholeheartedly? Now here, Isaiah was the prophet. Many may say, well, do you think he gave him a false prophecy? No, I don't. I believe that God told Isaiah to tell Hezekiah exactly what he wanted him to know, but his faith was tested. So this is the question I ask you today, is can you turn your face to the wall when someone gives you a prophecy or a reading or tell you that you can't do something that you know within your God self that he has instilled in you to do? Or that negative report that the doctor gave you that you don't want to accept, turn your face to the wall. That means that he turned away from the prophet. He turned away from that prophecy, even though God gave it to him. He didn't want to hear that. Not only did he didn't want to hear it, he didn't accept it. And that is the thing. Suggesting. The power of suggestion is a powerful thing. Now, if he had accepted that wholeheartedly, what Isaiah was telling him, then he would have went on and did what Isaiah told him to do, get his house in order and prepare for death. But since Hezekiah did not want to accept that, he wasn't ready to die, he turned away. That meant that he turned completely away from Isaiah. He turned away from the prophet. He turned away from his prophecy. And that is as a man thinketh in his heart. What was he thinking in his heart? Is that I do not accept it. I will go to God myself and petition him that this thing has to turn around. So this morning, dear hearts, this is what I'm saying, is that when you get a reading of someone, and it doesn't have to be a prophet, doesn't have to be a psychic, it could be someone telling you, oh, you can't do that, oh, you know that costs too much, oh, you shouldn't dare try to go do that, or you shouldn't dare try to buy that, and when you know within yourself that this is what you want, this is what God has made a way for you to do, or a false report from the doctor that we've given up on you, there's nothing else. I tell you, I've witnessed people that has gone into the hospice. And I actually, in my 23 years of doing healthcare, I worked with hospice quite a few times. And a couple of my patients that they told me, I was giving them false hope because they had came and put a date on their lifespan as to when they was going to demise. But my thing was, as long as there's life, there's hope. So there was a patient in particular that they had given her 3 months when I started with her, and she lived about 13 months. But hospice came out, and at first she didn't allow them to come out. And then they finally just kept calling and calling till they broke down till she decided to let them come. And believe me, that was the beginning of the end, because she began to lose her will to live. But there have been several occasions where people have actually gone into their facilities. My double first cousin was one of them. He went in, and actually he didn't even know what the facility was. He thought that they was just moving him from one wing of the hospital to another. He had no idea what hospice was about. And a bottle of morphine was given to him, he said, by a nurse if he wanted to drink it and just ease on out. But he said he put it in his drawer because he wasn't in any pain. But he lingered around there and lingered around there till they kicked him out. I mean, his life expectancy had long passed from what they had said. They sent him home, and my God, he lived about 3 or 4, maybe 5, I think it's 5 years that he lived beyond that time. So that is what I'm saying this morning, dear hearts, is that you don't take anything that you don't accept and let someone else give you that power for suggestion and weigh you down with it if you truly don't want to accept it. So that's what I'm speaking on this morning, is turning your face to the wall like Hezekiah did. That prophet came speaking the word of God to him, but he said, no, I would not accept this. God added 15 more years onto his life. So if you have a false report or a negative report out there and you don't accept it, don't want to accept it, turn your face to the wall, and that's a figure of speech, but you turn away from it. You don't even take it in your spirit. There are things that come to me that if something that I don't want to even digest, I don't take it in my spirit. It means it runs off of me just like water running off a duck's back. I don't let it take root in within me. I can hear it, but I don't digest it. So that's what I'm saying this morning, is don't accept things that you don't want to hear and don't want to accept. Don't take them on in your spirit and let it grow in you. Those three girls from my hometown, Cleveland, Ohio, that was kidnapped up there. They said one of the mothers was on Martell, and the psychic told her that her daughter was dead. And the neighbor said that that lady died from a broken heart, because she truly accepted that reading when the others still held on to faith that one day that they would see their child again, that they just wouldn't give up hope that their child was dead. But they said this other lady believed that reading that she was given wholeheartedly. So that, again, is whatever you think within yourself, the most dominant will always win out. If your thinking is more dominant into it not happening than it will happen, then your dominant feeling will always win out. And that's what happened. She accepted that that's true, that her child was dead. She would never see her again. And so she took that, and she let it grow within her until she got weighed down with it. So as I say, turn your face to the wall. Turn away from things that you know from your God self. You, if you're praying in the will of God and you know that God is all good and he has our highest interest at heart, he is for our highest good. God is not against us. He's for us. So many of us are filled with guilt of things from the past, of things that other people have made us feel guilty about, that we don't even think that we're worthy, or we haven't gotten to the point that we can forgive ourselves. But God has already forgiven us. That's what Jesus went up on that cross for. So many times I have to keep reminding people over and over is that your sins has already been forgiven. If you truly repent in your heart, there's a difference than saying that you've been forgiven and haven't repented. But if you really truly repented, your sins have already been forgiven, and there's no reason to beat yourself up about it. That so many are still living in the past of things that has happened, and they can't move forward. So again, I said, turn your face to the wall from things that you don't want to see materialize in your life. Just like Daniel, he turned from those lions. If he had showed any type of fear, as though those lions was going to have him for dinner, he wouldn't have been able to stand. But his trust was higher than his fear for those lions. His trust in the Almighty God of protecting him, bringing him through, outwon. It just outweighed the fear that we would have had for those lions. So his faith outweighed his fear. And that's the same thing I just mentioned before. Which one will weigh out would be the strongest emotion, the strongest belief? The strongest belief will always win out. Your fear will always win if it's greater than your faith. So this morning, turn towards the wall from all undesirables, all negative reports, all false reading, all false prophecies. Turn your face towards the wall. And I tell you, God loves active faith, because the word tells us that only faith will please him. And we have to show active faith. Even with Hekelachi weeping bitterly, he still had faith that God would honor his prayer. He had no time to sit there and conversate with Isaiah. He had no time to try to make amends with him or to see if there was anything else he saw. He did the work himself. He went to work. But exercising his faith and trust in God to bring him through, to get him up off of that sick bed. And he said on the third day, and like I said, you can read it for yourself, but on the third day he was recovered. And the word of God came back to Isaiah to go back. Tell him that he's going to be healed. Go back and let him know that I'm going to add 15 years to his life. So I want you to take that in this morning with your own situations in your life. The things that you need to turn your face towards the wall to. And then again, what about things that have appeared dead to you that you want to see live again? Could it be dead relationships, a dead bank account, anything that you see that you would like to see activity in? Because we serve Jesus and he has resurrection power of things that has laid dormant in our lives. All we have to do is pray for the life to come in those things, whatever it is. Jobs that have been at a dead end. Anything that you would like to see activity in again, you pray for the resurrection of Jesus to come into that situation, even into the person, dead relationship. Come into that situation and see life, see activity again in it. So I'm going to take a little break right now, and I'll be right back, and it'll be more into how you need to turn your face to the wall. Be right back. Welcome back to On One Accord with Carmen. I am your host, Carmen Miranda Thomas. So great to have you with me this day. And I'm praying that all of you listeners out there are tuning in and listening to the topic that I have this morning and understanding exactly what I'm saying about turning your face to the wall, turning yourself to the wall. That means turning away from things that you know that is not godly for you, or you feel just like there's a negative report, and you trust God to bring you through another channel other than that you've been told. That's the thing, turning your face, take that lesson from Malachi, take that lesson and let it be an example for you to follow, for all of us to follow. Because I've definitely used it myself as things that have been told to me, false reports. I know that at one time in my life, I was diagnosed with lupus. And actually, I didn't understand the disease. And I was breaking out all over my face, and my face actually looked like a checkerboard. And I went to the doctor, and I was diagnosed with it, and so many people was, oh, you poor thing, and blah, blah, blah. But I just would not accept that as being my end. And I found out later that it was only limited to the skin. And I just really got into working on myself, going through not only the medication that I was given, but a cleansing process within of ridding myself alive, realized that I was holding a lot of things within that I needed to release. Unforgiveness that I actually was fooling myself of thinking that, I have forgiven that person, but I have to be real with myself. And that's the thing. If we go before God, we have to go before Him naked, nothing hidden. And I'm not talking about the shedding of clothes. I'm saying there is nothing that can be hid from Him. So when you go before Him, you have to go stripped, confessing your faults that you have, knowing what they are and confessing them and asking for help to strengthen you to rid yourself of them. So I had to go through a cleansing of ridding myself of some hostility that I was carrying around, some unforgiveness that I was holding, that I kept saying, oh, yeah, I've forgiven that person, when actually, and I took that inventory and actually went it deep within and shed it off everything. Oh, no, I hadn't forgiven. And so after going through that cleansing and that forgiveness process, I went back to the doctor several months later and was told there was no sign of lupus. My skin began to clear up, and if you would see my skin right now, you never would have believed that I ever had a black spot on my face, looked just like a checkerboard. You never would have believed it. But I have pictures that at that time that, I mean, I really looked horrible. So that's what I'm saying, is that we don't have to have anyone to tell us what we're holding within, because people can see us from the outside. God looks at the heart, and He sees all of our hang-ups that we may try to put on an air about that we don't have. But He sees all of those things that's within us, the hatred, the prejudice, the hostility, the unforgiveness. We may tell each other we don't have those things, but He sees them. He know them. And could we go through that cleansing and go through being completely honest? And I always say that. That's one of my sayings, as going before God naked. And a lot of people may think, oh, you go before God, take all your clothes off and go get on your knees. No. You can be fully clothed, but go before Him naked. That means nothing hidden. You don't have to go put on any airs when you go before the throne. whatever you have within and you know it, you can discuss it and bring it out and confess it with God. So this is what I like about this story with Hezekiah. He said, God, I've served you with a loyal heart in truth. And that's the key, in truth. Don't have to sugarcoat anything with him. You serve him in spirit and truth. And when we do that, then we can expect a breakthrough, our deliverance, because he honors that. So this morning, that is what we are keen on, is turning our face to the wall, leaving all of the other, as they say, the clutter. Just getting rid of that. Trusting him beyond a shadow of a doubt. And regardless of if you do get a prophecy and it's something that you don't want to accept, don't accept it. I can remember when I had, I was about 16 years old. A friend of mine, well, she had had a just teenage mother. But anyway, she had a little job on the weekend, and I went to the little restaurant that she was working at to hang out until she got off of work. And the little, and she had had a child, and the child was sickly that she had. She had a lot of health problems when she was born. So my girlfriend was telling me that there was a guy that came in called Prophet at this restaurant. And she said everybody would just start running when they saw him. They were scared of him because whatever he said, you could take it to the bank. I mean, it came right out. And I really didn't pay much about attention because, I mean, I wasn't familiar with these type of people or readings and all of this stuff. But she was very anxious to see this guy. So that evening, as I was there with her at the restaurant, she was waiting on him. She said he may come in. So in walked this little man. I mean, he looked just like a little bum, really. And people were scrambling because they had tables out in the restaurant, and they were scrambling, moving back and getting out his way. And so as the man came up, Pat ran over to him. That was my friend. She ran up to him and told him, summoned him down to the end of the counter so they could have a little private talk. I still didn't, I mean, I just didn't cue in on what he was about or whatever. I went and put a few coins in the jukebox, and I was dancing around out there in the middle of the floor and just deeping and bopping to my own, that was in my own little world. And so I looked over there at her, and I saw a very concern on her face, but I still didn't go over there to try to hear what was said. And so after I danced a couple of tunes off the jukebox, I strolled over there because he seemed like he was finished talking to her. And she seemed like she had a very concerned look on her face, but I didn't ask her at the time. I walked over there in front of this man and threw my hand up in his face. I said, give me a reading. This man looked at my hand, and he just started shaking his head. He said, oh, my God. So you've already had a hard time with your mother, poor thing. Because, I mean, I was a child, I think, only child, but not very wanted by my mother, poor. But anyway, he saw this, he said. He looked at my hand, and he says, you've been through a hard time already, he said. And you're going to marry this guy, and you're going to have 5 children. And, oh, you're going to stay a long time, and you're going to give it all you've got. He said, but you're not going to make it in that marriage. He said, you're just not. Oh, God. At that time, I wasn't thinking about marrying anyone. But that reading that he gave me, just the way he let me, the way he brought it across to me, it was like I was going to live such a miserable life. And my girlfriend told me after he finished talking to her, he told her her daughter was sick and that she was going to have brain surgery. Well, within about a week after we got that reading, her daughter did have to have brain surgery. She did come out just fine. But I went home full of gloom. I took that man's reading wholeheartedly. And I do have five children today. And believe you, my, I did everything I could to try to make that man out of a lie. I even had a couple of miscarriages. And I got to have four, either six. This man's prophecy just can't come true. But what I had did was took that man's reading and I completely accepted it. And I am a living witness that the prophecy he gave me came straight to pass. Yes, I did marry a man, those children's father, and stayed many a year in an abusive marriage. But I left with five small children. And it just never left me, the prophecy that he gave me. It's just that, like I said, there are some out there with the gift. And the things that they tell you, you can take them and you can accept them or reject them. I'm not down in prophets. I'm not down in psychics. But it's the message that they give you. It goes back to that great truth. Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, be it unto you. That's the key. That is the complete key, dear heart, of whatever anyone tells you. Take it as true or false. It's up to you to accept that reading or prophecy or reject it. And again, I say right here, Helicala did not accept that prophecy, even though this was a man of God that came to him straight, thus said the Lord. He did not accept it. It doesn't matter who bring it. If it is not acceptable to you, according to your faith, be it unto you. That is the key. That is the key around the whole thing of regardless, brother. It could be your health, someone telling you you can't do anything, or that's too much for you, or, oh, I shouldn't go there if I was you, or I shouldn't invest in that if I was you, or I wouldn't do this. If you know that is what you truly want, you've sought God for it, and you've been prayerful, and you know that it's God's desire for us, and his desire is for our highest good. Nothing is never for our against us with God. He's always for us. And if God can be for us, who can be against us? So when we know that God is for our highest good, whatever message we receive, it is up to us to accept that or reject it. I'll be right back. I'll give you my P.O. box. I would love to hear from you. Last week, I was almost out of time when I gave it. And again, I want to even go back into what I mentioned last week about my daughter asking to be married at this church, and they asked her to wait until they check to see how consistent she was in paying her tithe. She herself said she had to repent, go to God and ask forgiveness, because she saw beforehand that they had begun to run that just like a business instead of a church. And what she was looking at was the beauty of that building that what made her decide that she wanted to get married there. When they came out like that, she knew then that that was not for her. So she and her husband both wind up deciding to go to the military base, the nice little chapel there, and that's where they was married at. So anyway, I'm going to take another little quick short break, and I'll be back. And like I said, I would love to hear from you. Are these songs, I still would like to get some of these songs out to you for different situations that you may be facing. That, as I mentioned, there are songs that is for every situation of chaos in our life that we may face, that these particular songs will handle any type of situation, illness, jobs, loved ones, whatever it is, there's a particular song for you in your situation. So I'll be right back to give you my P.O. box, and we'll go from there. Okay, welcome back to On One Accord with Carmen. I am your host, Carmen Miranda Thomas, and it's great to have you back with me again. And as I mentioned before, before I run out of time this Sunday, I would like to give you my P.O. box so that you can write me. And that is On One Accord with Carmen, and that's P.O. box 360-165, Decatur, Georgia. That's D-E-C-A-T-U-R, Decatur, Georgia, at 30036. Again, that's On One Accord with Carmen, P.O. Box 360-165, Decatur, Georgia, D-E-C-A-T-U-R. Zip code is 30036. Now, I would love to hear from you. Write me. Tell me what you think about the broadcast. Write me and request a song if you would like. Affirmative prayer, because this is the time that we as believers need to stick together, dear heart. And even if you don't believe in Jesus, now is the perfect time to just repent, give your heart to Christ, and make Jesus Lord, is the Lord of your life. So again, write to me. Let me know what you think about the broadcast, and also, as I said, request a song if you like, make a donation if you like. But as I said, it is time for us to turn. The Bible said that in these last days that men, the love for each other will turn cold. It says that men will turn, they will turn, the love will turn cold towards each other. They will be lovers of themselves. And that doesn't mean anything. It's not speaking about a gay population at all when it says that men will become lovers of themselves. So many people misconcept that passage as thinking that it means gays, but it doesn't. It means that we have become lovers of ourselves, that we no longer have that love for our sister and brother in our heart. It's all about me, 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 what I can get for myself, what I can get from you. So the love has waxed cold for each other. And that's what that passage means, that we have gotten so far away out here in the masses that it has been long gone as far as putting God on the back burner, his teachings, his commandments, the love for each other that we're supposed to have. Jesus said that that is the most important thing, is to reach out. Those were the instructions he left. Feed my sheep. Go out there and pull someone else up. Lift them up in Christ. See the Christ within a person. Instead of downing, the only thing we can see is the worst in a person. Lift up the Christ within that person. And he said he would draw them to him. So we have to turn from just thinking of self. This has become a very selfish society, that all we think about is self, that we can't have that love that Jesus taught for each other. It says that if a person come to you naked and at your door, you don't pat them on the back and send them away and tell them you're going to pray for them when you know that you have means in your house to be able to help them out. You don't pat them on the back and send them off and say, I'll pray for you. That's not helping them. Yeah, that prayer, sure, we can always pray. But when you can do a physical need to help someone when you see that they're physical, then that is what we're supposed to do. So we all need to become more prayerful and asking God to strengthen us to be able to do what we can do in our own capacity. It's not our responsibility to go out there and try to save the world. We can do what we can in our own capacity of doing it, right in our own little circle. We don't have to go out there and reach out and stand on the corner. A man was downtown Atlanta. A couple told me, standing on the corner, passing out money to the homeless. And before it was over, he was attacked. I mean, they beat him so bad that he was taken. They had to call 911 for the man to be taken to the hospital. We have to also be prayerful in our way of giving. We have to ask God to give us wisdom and a way to give. We can't stand on the corner like Santa Claus and pass out things to people, because even those people that's in need, they need direction. They are not used to a person being generous, and then, as the Bible says, they gash up on you with their teeth. So it's a way to even give, sisters and brothers. You have to give in wisdom. That's why we have to pray for wisdom. So again, I'm going to leave you with that today. It's turning your face to the wall. When there's a prophecy, a reading, someone telling you something that you know that is not for your highest good, a negative report, not for your highest good, you turn your face to the wall from it, regardless of who bring it. If you know that you can go to God, trust God, and ask him to turn that thing around and have unwavering faith, turn your face to the wall. That's my message to you today. And I would leave you with this affirmation. Those things that appear dead, and you call them out, whatever it is, those things that appear dead now lives in the name of Jesus by his resurrection power. These things that appear dead now lives in the name of Jesus by his resurrection power. These things that appear dead now lives in the name of Jesus by his resurrection power. And you call those things out that you want to see life come back into, that you want to see activity come in again. That's up to you. You know what they are in your own life and in your own situation. Turn your face to the wall and declare that they live in the name of Jesus by his resurrection power. I love you. Be back next week. Have a great week. God lives. Let the light of God surround you, protect you, and give you all that you ask for in the name of Jesus by his resurrection power. May your week be great. I love you. Bye-bye.
Come on, put your hands over here. You can have peace.
You can have peace.
In the middle.
In the middle of the storm, you know.
The Bible declares, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? He goes on to say, I'll even make a way in the wilderness.